We're going to talk tonight for a few minutes from Luke chapter 12. That's where I'm going to teach from. And I'm going to continue along this theme of generosity and contentment and worry and how these all fit together. But before I do that, I want to focus for just a minute on what I would call fighter verses. How many of you studied James this morning in Sunday school? Just curious. Okay, there was this great phrase in the passage today about the implanted word. And it was saying essentially this: let's get rid of this and let's replace it with this. And that has been a theme that I think has really helped us to see how God lays out a plan for our sanctification. So instead of it, you know, in James 1, I think the passage was about anger. And instead of focusing on anger, we want to focus on worry. So here would be the question: what verses could you use in Scripture to fight back against worry? Remember, I started the sermon this morning and I said that worry is a bully. Worry is a tyrant. Worry will try to argue with you, beat you down, get inside your head, and make a mess of your life, right? So here's the thing. As a Christian, do you just roll over and say, okay, you got me, worry, I'm defeated? Or do you say, you know what? Worry, I'm going to fight back. And how do you fight back? You fight back with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, there's multiple verses that could help you fight back with worry. But practically speaking, these are verses that you need to see. These are verses that you need to digest. These are verses that you need to implant. These are verses that need to be in your mind and in your heart if you're going to be able to fight back against worry. So part of that is being able to do what we talked about several weeks ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, where we're taking every thought captive and we're making it obedient to Christ. So you have to know and recognize when you start to worry. Are you able to do that? Are you asking God, God, would you help me when I start to worry? When I start to stress, when I start to get filled with anxiety, God, would you help me at that very moment to just grab that? Because if what I said this morning is true, and it is, worry is sin. He told us three times not to do it. Imperative commands: don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. So if I worry, I'm sinning. And if it's a sin issue, then God is very much going to get involved to expose that for what it is and to root it up out of our lives, but then we have to replace it. I'm going to start with one that you, it may not come to mind, but I'll just have you write it down because you may not immediately make the connection, and then I'll give you a couple that are probably a little tighter of a fit. But consider this verse, okay? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. What is worry about ultimately? It's about uncertainty, right? It's an uncertain future. What if this? What if that? What is certain about your future? What is certain about your present? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The unchanging Christ, past, present, future. The never-changing Christ, past, present, future. So instead of focusing on what you don't know, use Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, and cling to what you do know. Here's what I do know. My Christ never changes. He never changes. He is the everlasting God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is never changing. He is never failing. He is everlasting. He is always the same. So when you pray and you say to God, God, I'm not sure about what's going to happen there. I don't know what's going to happen there. But here's what I do know. Jesus Christ is Lord over everything. And I trust Him. Here would be a good fighter verse. It comes from the book of Isaiah. So even in the Old Testament, you can find some great fighter verses. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 41:10. These are just verses that I would encourage you as you battle back against worry to have written down. Maybe you've got them in the refrigerator. Maybe you've got them at work. Maybe you've got them on the bathroom mirror. Maybe you've got them on cards. Some of you have discovered the apps that are available to memorize scripture now. All of those are great ways to just implant that word into your heart. So you start to worry. You start to get anxious. You recognize it. And you say, Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What are we doing? Okay, go back to the message. We are replacing worry, which is sin, with faith, which is truth. Okay, that's what we're doing with fighter verses. We're saying, okay, I've got this issue that I'm dealing with. And it happens to be worry. It happens to be anxiety. And so I need to recalibrate my heart away from worry and to the trust that I should not fear. God is with me. I should not be dismayed because God is my God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You fight back. You push back against worry. Let me give you a couple of other ones that I think might be encouraging and helpful. We studied this in 1 Peter 5:7. It actually has its foundation in Psalm 55:22. Here's what it says. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Isaiah 55:22. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. So here comes that anxious thought. Here comes that thought that begins to eat at you and disturb your peace and trouble your heart and trouble your mind. And you've got this great verse that says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God, I believe with all my heart You care for me, and therefore I am casting this on You. I am handing this over to You. I'm giving this over to You, whatever it may be. John 14:27. Again, fighter verses. How do I fight back against worry? How do I let the Word become implanted in me such that it expulses or pushes out that which is sin? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Those are the words of Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. God, I'm to be characterized as a disciple by the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if I am consumed with worry and anxiety, I am not showing myself to be a disciple who is at peace with Jesus Christ. And so John 14:27 is a great verse. Matthew 11:28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Worry can be heavy laden, can it? Anxiety can be heavy laden. And here's what Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Just to be able to rest in Him in the middle of the day when anxiety attacks and be able to say, come to me. Lord, I'm coming to you. I am weary. I am heavy laden. And Father, I desire your rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You could come up with your own fighter verses. Those are just a few that were identified. There was one other one that I thought I had marked, and that was Isaiah 41, 13 through 14. This is a great verse. "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you,' declares the Lord." God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper." Psalm 118, 6 and 7. I really do want you to be equipped with ammunition to fight back. That there really should be no excuse for us as believers to be bullied by worry. Dominated by worry. I mean, let's not say that Christ is our victory if we're going to accept defeat with worry. Does that make sense? You know, we can easily get in this mindset that say, you know, hey, he's given me abundant life. He's given me all this. He's given me the victory. And then we go around and we act so defeated when we're in bondage to something like worry or something like anxiety. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Luke 12, verse 13. My Bible calls this the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, immediately in Luke's gospel, you should have a little radar go off, alarm go off, because this asking for the inheritance is a theme that we saw in Luke chapter 15 in the prodigal, where he goes to the father and he says, "Hey, I want what's coming to me. I want the inheritance." And every commentator that you read on this request is saying that there is an unhealthy obsession with gain. This is their way to solve all of their life's problems by getting the family inheritance. So it's driven by greed, and we'll see that. Because Jesus warns him, be careful what you ask for. Because if you get it, it might just change your life for the wrong. So, teacher, tell me, tell my brother. You talk to him. You talk some sense into him. We need to divide the inheritance right now. But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" It's almost as if Jesus just says, look, there's something that's at much greater stake here. It's not your inheritance, it's your soul. So let's not come to Jesus and just say, Jesus, fix my problems, be my judge, be my arbitrator. Jesus came to be our Savior. And he said to them, listen to this. He says to us, as the audience of the parable, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The idea here is that if I get the inheritance, it's going to change my life. That this influx of money and possessions is going to be my life. It's going to be life changing. It's going to define my life. It's going to be my identity. So Jesus says, take care or be careful or watch out. It's probably the more intense translation that I saw. Watch out and be on your guard right? Be on your guard. Guard your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We studied that last week. So guard your heart against greed, against desiring. And that's really what coveting is. It's at its root idolatry. If you go over to Colossians chapter 3, that's the way Paul describes it. He describes coveting, desiring as idolatry. It's really that picture of a heart that is never satisfied. So it seeks after idol, after idol, after idol. So Jesus gives us this great statement and says, if your life is marked by an insatiable desire for more and more and more, he says, you're focusing your life on the wrong thing. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So these material things will tell you a lie, and here's the lie. There's life in what you have. There's life in physical prosperity. There's life in material things. That's tying perfectly what we said this morning about Jesus saying, hey, is life not more than eating and drinking and putting on clothes, right? We were created for a greater and higher purpose. But the lie here is that there is life in possessions. That somehow, some way, more stuff can satisfy the deepest needs of the heart. So Jesus says life is not consisting in the abundance of your possessions. In fact, we know from the gospel that our life is hidden in Christ, right? Our life is in Him. Our life is abiding in Jesus Christ. And He told them a parable, and here's what the parable was. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. What shall I do? What shall I do? Oh, I've got all of these crops. I've got all of this abundance. What shall I do? And you just picture him wringing his hands. What shall I do? What shall I do? Because now I've got to find a bigger place to put them. So what happens is simply this. More plentiful, more possessions, more problems. We've got a new problem. What are we going to do? Where are we going to put all of this, right? We're going to go down to the storage center. We're going to rent a bunch of storage units. So he said, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. He came up with it. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. So he's got a plan. And up to this point in the story, Jesus doesn't rebuke him, because God is not opposed to produce. God is not opposed to production. Plentiful production. God is not opposed to businesses growing and crops growing. But what he is opposed to comes out in this next verse. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Could I just say to you tonight, be careful what you say to your soul. Tell your soul the truth of the word. Don't tell your soul, you have security because you have stuff. And that's what he says. It is misplaced security. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. We got this. We are taken care of. We will survive Y2K and beyond, right? I mean, we got it. Soul, we have everything that we need. So here's his idea of a satisfied soul. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he thinks the pinnacle of his life is. To have enough abundance so that he can take care of for the rest of his life in prosperity. Relaxing, eating, drinking, and being merry. And you look at what we studied this morning in Matthew's gospel with Jesus and a Sermon on the Mount, and he says that the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is about his glory, his righteousness. It is about his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So be careful what you say to your soul. He preaches to his soul a false satisfaction. Our soul is not satisfied by goods laid up, no matter how plentiful they may be. And now relax, take it easy, eat, drink, be merry, throw a party. And God says to him, fool. How foolish it is for you to put your soul into the hands of material things. Because material things cannot save. Material things cannot satisfy. You know, people who say things like, money defines me. When I have a lot of it, I'm feeling great. And when I have none of it, I'm feeling terrible. Money defines me. Or I find my identity in material things. Or my quality of life is determined by my possessions, by my toys, by the things that I have to play with. All of those miss what God is saying to this man. That your identity is not in these things that you seek after. Your soul cannot be filled with these things. There's only one thing that can fill our souls, and that's Christ. That's his gospel. So acquiring things contribute absolutely nothing to the heart's capacity for joy. This very night, your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? They're going to go to somebody else. So is the one who lays up treasure, here's the problem, for himself. Okay? For himself. That is the most selfish expression of this individual's values and priorities. I'm storing this up for myself. Right before our passage that we looked at this morning, it said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. What are you worried about? I'm worried about the moths. I'm worried about the thieves. I'm worried about the rust. I'm worried about decay. I'm worried about loss. He says, if you'll lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, There is no worry or fear about moths or rusts. There's no worry about thieves breaking in and stealing, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The very last thing that I want to do tonight is I want to point you to Philippians. I don't think you can talk about worry without talking about prayer. Have those fighter verses readily available. Commit them to be in you and around you and implanted in you, and practice this great principle from Philippians chapter 4. It's one of the simplest principles you ever learn. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning there in verse 4. And here's the principle. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. That will save you. So much worry, so much anxiety. If I will worry about nothing because I'm praying about everything, I am laying it at His feet. So here it is, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And that's why I wanted to start in verse 4, because I really think if you start in verse 6, you don't get the context, which is the Lord is at hand. What is the Lord is at hand? It's God's presence. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He is always at hand. He is this constant strength in my life. The Lord is at hand. So why would you be worried about anything? The Lord is at hand. So why would you be anxious about anything? That's why he says in verse number 6, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. I didn't write it. God wrote it. Big stuff, little stuff, anything means anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, you mean, aren't there some exceptions? Aren't there something? Do not be anxious about anything. And how many times do we find ourselves saying to the Lord by way of confession, Lord, you tell me in your word, do not be anxious about anything. And yet I've been anxious. I need to confess my anxiousness, my worry, my anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Isn't that the key? Anything and everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not underestimate the role of prayer in defeating worry. Father, we praise your name that we don't have to be like the Gentiles, like the pagans, like unbelievers who run around and live like there is no God. Father, here's what I know about Monday. When I wake up and start my Monday, Lord, you'll be right there. You'll be faithful. You'll be true. And you will give me exactly what I need for Monday. And Father, I might be tempted to look ahead and start to worry about something on Tuesday or Wednesday or next Sunday. And you tell me on Monday that I really have one thing that I need to live for. I need to seek first the kingdom of God tomorrow. I need to wake up and I need to say to you, Lord, if anything good is going to happen today, it's going to happen because something from the kingdom is going to happen. And Lord, as I start to filter through my day, all these things that are happening all around us, what, if any, have anything to do about the kingdom? God, I have one life to live, and I want to make it count. And I want it to be about your kingdom and about your glory. So as I filter my thoughts throughout the day, God, will I come back and ask myself, what are you worried about? God is alive. God is on his throne. God is our provider. God is our strength. God is our refuge. Fear not, Greg Heisler. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So quit worrying and start living for the kingdom. And for the King of the kingdom, in whose name I pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.